All right, let's look here now in Exodus chapter 9. We're going to return this morning to our questions series. In these series of messages, we're looking at questions asked to sinners by the Lord. The next question is found in Exodus 9:17, and this is the Lord is speaking to Pharaoh. And here's the question, Exodus 9:17. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Still you exalt yourself? That's what the Lord is saying. Still you exalt yourself? That'll be our title. Those of you here today who've never submitted, never come down from that high and lofty place and submitted to the Lord, this is the question for you. Still you exalt yourself? Still you exalt yourself after everything you've heard that the Lord has done? After everything you've seen that the Lord has done, still you exalt yourself? Let's go up to verse 13 and let's get the context. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a very religious man. And early every morning, Pharaoh went to the river to worship. That sounds good, but he went to the river to worship the river and the snakes and the frogs. He was an idolater, Pharaoh was. And Moses had met him at that place earlier in his dealings with Pharaoh. So now the Lord tells him to go meet him there again. And the Lord tells Moses, verse 13, he says, say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. That's who God's people are, his elect, the Hebrews. It means people from beyond. He says, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Five times the Lord had given this command to Pharaoh already. How many times have you heard the Lord give the command to believe on him in the gospel? How many times? The Lord showed him a miracle. He had showed him, he brought Aaron and Moses in, and remember that rod of the Lord that we looked at? He put it down on the earth, and that rod turned into a serpent. And then that rod ate up Pharaoh's magicians. They did this with their rods, and they turned their rods into serpents. But his rod ate up their rods. That's a picture of the gospel. That's a picture of Christ who came into the earth, was made that thing that was biting us and inflicting venom into us, made sin for us, and put away our sin. And now he's ascended again to the heavens. He's ate up our enemies. He's destroyed our enemies like that rod ate up theirs. How many times have you heard the gospel? That's what that was a picture of, and he showed that to Pharaoh. Well, the Lord had sent six plagues to Pharaoh already. This is what he'd done up to this point. He turned all the water in the land into blood. He made frogs cover the whole land. He even came up into Pharaoh's bedroom. He brought lice upon man and beast in the whole land of Egypt. He sent flies, just a mass thickness of flies into all the houses. He sent disease upon all the cattle so that they died. He brought boils on man and beast. And in all of this, everything he'd done, Pharaoh hearkened not. He refused to obey the Lord. Now, for the sixth time, the Lord commands him. He says to him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. And next, God warns Pharaoh of what's about to happen to him, the plagues that are about to happen. Verse 14, I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people. The Lord's saying these next plagues, those other ones appear to have had some, they had some time in between each of those, and they weren't as severe as this. He said, these are fixing to come rapidly. And he said, and they're fixing to come right into your heart, upon all your people and your servants. Verse 14, that thou mayest know that there's none like me in all the earth. I'm nothing like your idol gods, he's saying. Verse 15, "For now I'll stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." So now here's the question. "And as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go?" After all this, you still exalt yourself? Now, here's the one point we see running through this whole message this morning. Pride goes before fall. Pride is sure to go before fall. Here's the first thing we see. The natural heart is as hard as stone. It's as hard as stone. God holds Pharaoh up here to show us what a man will do if he's left to himself. This is what he will do. Pharaoh was born just like you and me, just like every son of Adam, with a heart that was as hard as stone. The longer he lived, the higher he climbed in life, the more achievements he accomplished, the more religious he became, the harder his heart became throughout his life. He thought he was God. That's what he thought. He was exalted high in his own mind. That was the root of all his blasphemy. God's going to save his people from him. But he's going to hold Pharaoh up here for everybody to see, so we can see the hardness of the natural heart. Now, a natural heart can't be changed just by threats of judgment. The natural man's got to have the law to keep him in check. It will at least somewhat keep him in check. He's got to have threats of law, threats of punishment, promises of reward, the threats of judgment, things like that to keep him in check. The law wasn't made for a righteous man. The Lord's people aren't governed that way. The person who has a heart of flesh, one made new in spirit by the Spirit of God, he follows the Lord and is constrained. His heart doesn't have to be restrained. He's constrained by the love of Christ. Moses is standing here, him and Aaron, and they're obeying the Lord because they have a new heart. God's given them a new heart. They had a heart of faith. They had a heart of humility. They had a heart of submission. They had a heart, a spiritual heart, a new heart. And so they obeyed the Lord and spoke the words He gave them to speak. But the natural heart, it can't even be penetrated by threats of judgment. Remember the rich man in hell? The Lord gives that parable of him. He didn't repent. Even when he was in hell, there's not even repentance in hell. So we see here in Pharaoh, he was threatened with all this judgment, and he never repented. Now, there's some times that he called for Moses. Look back at Exodus 8, and look at verse 8. He called for Moses one time here, and it says in verse 8, "Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I'll let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord.' So the Lord removed them." He removed the plague. Verse 15 says, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto the Lord, as the Lord had said." Another time, he said, "I'll let you go." But as soon as Moses took away the plague, it says, Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. And then right after this, the Lord sends hail and lightning. And it kills men. It kills cattle. It's this. We're not talking about softball size hail. We're talking about hail about the size of hay bales, and we're talking about hail that's falling and just crushing people. So look what Pharaoh did in Exodus 9, verse 27. It says, "And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and he said unto them, 'I've sinned this time.'" "I've sinned this time," he said. And he said, "The Lord's righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there may be no more mighty thunderings in hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." And Moses said unto him, "As soon as I'm gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that you will not fear the Lord God." and the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up." You know what Moses just did? Pharaoh didn't have ears to hear, so he gave him a parable. That's what he did. He gave him a parable. He said, "Pharaoh, I know you're not going to fear the Lord. For the same reason the flax and the barley was smitten by that hail. Because they were too grown up. They were too exalted. And therefore they were ripe to be cut off in judgment by the Lord. Oh, that you'd been like the wheat and the rye. They were not grown up. And therefore they yielded to the word of the Lord. That hadn't grown. It hadn't grown yet. So it was yielding. It was young and tender. And it yielded to the judgment. Moses went out of the city. He called for the hail to stop. Sure enough, it stopped. And sure enough, look what happened. Verse 34. "And Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased. He sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses." You see, judgment won't do it. Without the Spirit of God, judgment won't do it. The Lord has got to, He's got to send the Spirit, and He's got to give us a new heart. He said in Isaiah, "Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness he will deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord." But the Lord, when He gives a new heart, like here is Moses and Aaron, they're obeying Him. Do you know the only difference between Moses and Pharaoh? The only difference between them is the difference the Lord made. It was the difference of His grace working in their heart. Look at Exodus 11 and verse 7. Exodus 11 verse 7. He said, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord," it's the Lord, "the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Egypt." The Lord does it. Look over at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Paul gives the commentary on this verse we're looking at in Exodus. Look at Romans 9. Romans 9:15. "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture said unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens." Somebody will say, "Well, hold your place there in Romans 9. I'm going to show you something else." Somebody will say, "Well, it's not fair because he hardened Pharaoh's heart and Pharaoh couldn't believe." No, it's not fair. God's not dealing fairly with Pharaoh. Well, let's see. Was it fair whenever God made Pharaoh to be born in a good home, healthy, with no infirmities, nothing wrong with his body? Was it unfair whenever God protected him all his life? Was it unfair when God opened every door for him so that as he went through his political career, he climbed up politically, climbed the ladder in politics? And was it unfair that God set him on the most powerful throne in the most powerful nation in all the world and gave him all the riches more than can even be imagined? Was that unfair? That God gave him all that? Was it unfair that God put He put Israel in Egypt there? There they are in Israel. These folks who know the Lord, who know the gospel, who've been taught by their father Israel, who was taught by his father Isaac, who was taught by his father Abraham. Is it unfair that there they are with the word of the gospel right there? Was it unfair that he sent Moses to him with the word of the Lord and spoke the word of the Lord to him and told him all these things? Was that unfair? When we see that God raised up Pharaoh and gave him all that, most people would look at his life and they'd say, "Oh, there's a blessed man." If that was us, if that was one of our friends or somebody we knew, men today would say, "Oh, he's so blessed of the Lord. When we see the Lord raised him up and set him on that throne and put him where he put him, not to bless him, but to hold him up as a display of the hardness of men's hearts, we ought to be careful before we attribute God's blessing just because it's based on prosperity, because we see somebody's been blessed with prosperity. But why was God dealing with Pharaoh like this? Why was it fair? Why was it unfair? Why would you say it was unfair? Men claim they don't need God's grace. Men claim they come to God of their own will anytime they get ready. So why was it unfair that God withheld his grace from him? Why was it unfair then that he just withheld grace from him and didn't give him grace? Pharaoh had plenty of opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. He had the light of creation. As I said, he had Israel there in his midst. Moses was sent to him with the word. And a man can't remain neutral when the gospel comes. He just can't. One of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to believe the Lord and be blessed of the Lord, or he's going to reject it and God's going to send him to hell. And it's going to be worse for you sitting here have heard the gospel. It'll be worse if somebody sitting here has heard the gospel and meets God without Christ. It'll be worse for you because you've heard the gospel. You've heard it. Pharaoh had refused to walk in the light God gave him. That's the long and short of it. He refused to walk in the light God gave him. And so God, he looked to his false preachers, to his magicians, instead of to God's true messengers. That's who he looked to. So God hardened his heart. He hardened his heart. But we see in all that the Lord did, we see the long-suffering of God. That's the second thing. First, we see the hardness of his heart, of a natural man's heart. Secondly, we see the long-suffering of God. Look there at Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Exodus 7:7. You can turn back now. That's Exodus 7:7 tells us this. There's all kinds of little details in the Scripture, and you read those little details, and sometimes you don't know, well, what's that detail there for? This is one of those little details. Exodus 7:7. At the end of speaking there about something that sounds like it's a totally different subject, it says in verse 7, "And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh." What does that have to do with anything? Well, it shows us several things. It shows us, one, that God's deliverance of Israel out of captivity was exactly in the fullness of time, just like he said it would be. 400 years to the day. He told Abraham, 400 years, I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to bring them out. It was to the day. Out of the fullness of time, Christ came. In the fullness of time, his people are called out. But here's something else it shows us. It shows us for over 80 years, God had been long-suffering toward Pharaoh. He had borne with his rebellion and his rejection for 80 long years. That's right. So Pharaoh was fit for destruction a long time before God threw him in the Red Sea. A long time before that. God would have been just to destroy him the first time he refused his command. You think about it. If a man is guilty, and the court, the judge, they found the man guilty, the judge can pass sentence on the man whenever he wants to. He's guilty. He's guilty. And so if he does it that day, or if he waits 3 or 4 days, or if he waits a week, he's just to pass sentence on him whenever he wants to. The man's guilty. Well, if God passes judgment on us when we're 10 years old, or he does it when we're 25, or he does it when we're 80 years old, he's just to do it. We came forth guilty. We came forth guilty. If a man's going to end up in hell, well, God's just, while he lives, to give him a reprobate mind before he gets sentenced to hell. He's just to do that. But we see here, he was very long-suffering with Pharaoh. He waited a long time with Pharaoh. Sinner, don't waste time. Don't waste the time God's given you. God would have been just to destroy us a long time ago. The first time that you refused his command to believe the gospel, he'd have been just to destroy us. He'd be just to destroy one today if we walk out of here refusing his gospel. He'd be just to do it. You see how long-suffering God is? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? God was longsuffering because he had somebody in that. He had a people there, and he was not going to cut off Egypt and Pharaoh before he brought that people out. He was going to bring that people out of there. God's not slack concerning his promise. He's coming again. He's coming back. But he's long-suffering toward us because he's not willing that any of his people should perish. And they're not going to. None of his people are going to perish. So I'm sitting here this morning telling you, let God's people go. And you'll think, well, I'm not holding God's people captive. I'm not holding them back in any way. If you're God's sheep, if you're one of his sheep, you are. If you're the last one, you're holding us back, because when the last one's called, we're leaving Egypt and we're going to the promised land. So, yeah, you're holding them back. You're holding us back. Look here, thirdly. We see God hardened Pharaoh's heart in judgment. God hardened his heart. That's what he said there when I read you in Exodus 9, and it said there, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. God hardened it. He'd reached his limit. Pharaoh wouldn't walk in the light God gave him, and so God eventually hardened his heart. He hardened it so that Pharaoh could not believe. He could not believe. God does the same today. The more that grace is given to one of his people, the more the believer submits and casts all care into the hand of the Lord. But the more God removes his light from a sinner and removes it from a sinner, the harder that sinner gets and the more venomous he gets against God. I found this interesting. The scriptures said at the beginning that God would harden his heart. He would harden his heart. That's what the scriptures said. The Lord said, I will harden his heart. And the scripture says the Lord hardened it, and the scriptures say Pharaoh hardened his heart. And both are true. Pharaoh kept hardening his heart, rejecting, not listening, and God hardened his heart. He made it so he could not believe. But this is what I found interesting. Did you know the same word that is translated harden, whenever it says, the Lord said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that same word that's translated harden is used in a positive sense, the very same word, whenever the Lord was speaking to Joshua, and he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee, only be thou strong. That word strong is hard, hardy. It means hardness. That's what it means. Same. It's the same word. That's interesting to me, isn't it, that the same word is used in one respect. It's a good thing for the believer, and it's a bad thing for the unbeliever. And I thought about it. In his saints, by the Spirit entering the new heart, causing the believer to submit and trust the strength of the Lord to save him, God hardens the believer's heart. That is, he makes it strong against our enemies. But in the reprobate, by the Spirit removing his restraints off the carnal heart, removing his light from the carnal heart, the reprobate exalts self and relies more and more upon his own strength, so that his heart becomes hardened. That is, he becomes strong in rebellion against God. You see that? God left Pharaoh to the corruptions of his own heart, to the corruptions of his own nature. And God left him to the power of Satan. And God did something positively on Pharaoh too. He gave him strong delusions so that he would believe the lying miracles of his magicians. Pharaoh, he would listen to Moses, and he would see what Moses was doing, like when he did that miracle with the rod. And you could see him paying attention. And then his magicians would come along, and they would, and they're a picture of false preachers. They'd come along and they'd imitate what Moses did. And Pharaoh's heart would just become hardened, more and more hardened. I've seen that happen. By the grace of God, these plagues that were coming on Pharaoh and on the Egyptians, by the grace of God working in their heart, They weren't called plagues to Israel. They were called signs and wonders. Because with each plague that came, or with each one of them that came, each sign and wonder, by grace, they saw them. They became more and more convinced, more and more persuaded that their deliverance was sure. God was bringing them out. But that same exact thing that God sent was a plague to Pharaoh. He just got harder and harder and harder by it. You'll see a man, he'll come, he'll hear the gospel, he'll pay attention, you know, and start. You think he's getting settled. You think his heart's getting more calm. You think the Lord's working in him, you know. And then he'll go and he'll listen to some magician. He'll go listen to some false preacher. And his heart just gets more hardened against the truth. His heart gets more hardened against truth. Or some catastrophe comes in this earth, and if some whirlwind comes through and a bunch of folks are destroyed, the believer's sitting there looking at these tornadoes and hurricanes, and we're sitting there thinking, oh, the strength and the power and the might of our great God. He's going to save us. There's no doubt He's going to save us. Look at how He can just, with His finger, what He can do in this earth. And the unbeliever sitting there looking at it, and his heart's getting harder and harder against God. How can God let something like this happen in the earth? And he just gets hardened and hardened and hardened by it. Do you see? You see how these... Same with the gospel. One man hears it, he's delighting in the gospel. Another man's hearing it, and he's just getting harder and harder. Today's the day of grace. Harden not your heart. God's fixed a limit to His day of grace. A limit, like He did with Pharaoh. And when that limit's overstepped, when that limit is met, there remains nothing but judgment. Nothing but judgment. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we're made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. It's not a sign of God's grace for one to just begin the race. It's who ends it. That's how you know there's true grace in the heart. Well, here's the fourth thing we see. We learn by God's dealing with Pharaoh that everything God does is for the sake of His people. Verse 17, Exodus 9:17. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou would not let them go. Every time he's talking about my people, every time he speaks to Pharaoh, he's speaking in defense of my people, my people, my people. Our Redeemer shall deliver every one of His captive children. By Adam's transgression, we're sinner. We come forth in bondage like Israel was. Under the curse, under the bondage of the law, our wills and affections were in bondage to our sin nature. Under the power of Satan and his taskmasters, like Pharaoh and his servants were taskmasters over the children in Egypt. False religions been taking men captives and keeping them captive. They went to Pharaoh and they said, let us go. We want to go into the wilderness and worship. And Pharaoh said, you're idle, you're idle, you're idle. That's why you're coming wanting to go heed these vain words. He said, go make me some more bricks. And he took the straw away from him and said, now go gather your own straw and make me the same amount of bricks. That's what religion does. Keep them busy, 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 busy doing something so they can't go listen to what they call vain words. But God only allowed Israel to become slaves in Egypt so He could show His great name and His power in bringing them out. That's the only reason He allowed us to fall in Adam. That's the only reason He allows us to fall now. Verse 4 said, Exodus 7:4, Pharaoh shall not hearken to you for this reason, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And he said in Exodus 8:1, and I'm bringing them out for this reason, let my people go that they may serve me. We can't serve God when we're in bondage. We can't serve God when we're afflicted and in bondage. But don't ever forget this. If it looks dark, if it looks like there's no light, if it looks like we're being held captive in this world, everything God's doing in this world is for His elect people. Everything. By Christ's blood, He's redeemed every single one already. And He's going to send forth Moses, His preacher, like He sent forth Moses. And by His Spirit, He's bringing every one of them out. Out of the bondage of their sin nature. And where the Lord is, there's liberty. The Spirit, that the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We got liberty to serve Him. We got liberty to serve Him. So look back now at our text, Exodus 9:16. Let me close with this. He said, in very deed, verse 16, in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? What's the answer to the question? Well, in one sense, no, Pharaoh didn't exalt himself. God said there, I raised you up. I exalted you. I've made you to stand this whole time. That's the same with you, sinner. God has raised you up. God has made you to stand. You stand, you have breath, you're alive right now because God has exalted you. He's holding you up. But without God, Pharaoh didn't have any power whatsoever. That's what Christ told Pilate. And God exalted Pharaoh for a purpose. He exalted him so to make his power and his name known, to do whatsoever his hand and his counsel determined before to be done. But here's another answer to the question. Yes. Yes, he exalted himself. Pharaoh was without excuse for his wickedness. He was lifted up in pride and rebellion against God. He took everything God gave him, and used it to hate God and rebel against God and rebel against his people. That's true of everybody right now that's not in submission to Christ. That's true. But he exalted himself. He refused to let his people go. But guess what happened? God won. God threw him in the sea and killed him and all the Egyptians with him, his army with him. So, sinner, here's what I'm saying to you. Believe God today. Believe Him today. Don't war against God. You won't win the war. You just won't win it. You will not win the battle. But just submit to God. Bow to Him. Bow to Christ. There's a set limit. There's a set time to rebellion. And God will turn a man over to a reprobate mind so that you can't believe Him. I've seen that happen. If you're thirsty, come to the waters, the water of life, and drink freely. Drink freely. Your soul shall live. God will protect you all your days. And after this life, that's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Amen.